Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. The Reverend Doug Gribenaugh is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our reading is from the Holy Gospel of St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his talk. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God faithfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. This is the word of the Lord. We sing our office hymn, and I actually forgot the number. 734. Oh, that's a good one. "I trust, O Lord, your holy name." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A logical fallacy, a loaded question. That's what is set before Jesus today. One cannot simply answer yes or no, because no matter which answer is given, a falsehood or a contrary statement is implied. Sort of catch 22. Are you still cheating on your taxes? If you say yes, well, you're cheating on your taxes. This is a terrible thing. You shouldn't do it. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But if you say no, the implication is that at one time you did cheat on your taxes, because now you have stopped. So Jesus is sort of faced with this, and they butter him up a little, hoping perhaps, thinking that he is like you and I. A little sweet talk and misstep and say the wrong thing. "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion. You are not swayed by appearance. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" It's actually a decent question. It's asked with malice. The problem is, if Jesus simply says yes, he gives the Jewish authorities a reason to despise him, potentially alienating the followers. Because one, the Roman tax was imposed on Jerusalem as a constant reminder that they were subject to Rome, Caesar's subjects. Of course, on the back of the coin, too, is a little bit of Latin. Tiberius Caesar Divi Augusti, Filius Augustus. Caesar Augustus Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus. If he answers yes, a sort of tacit approval that indeed this Caesar's claim to divinity is legitimate. Of course, if he just says no, he's an open rebel, an enemy of Caesar, and by extension, an enemy of Herod, the puppet ruler that Rome had set up. Pharisees thought they'd finally trapped our Lord. What a great question. But why not hedge your bets a little? Send in some hanger-ons of the Pharisees, their disciples. Let them butter up Jesus with some compliments. He'll be so at ease, he'll finally say the wrong thing, and they can charge him with idolatry. But on the other hand, send in the Herodians too. Let them listen. If the reply is no, they can charge him with insurrection. But Jesus will have none of this. Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites?" It certainly didn't take his divine nature to sniff out the trap. But with his usual and still astounding clarity, he teaches the faith with a simple question. "Show me the coin for the tax. Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And they said, "Caesar's." "Therefore render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render unto God the things that are God." They marveled. They left him and went away. Jesus had turned the tables on his questioners. They thought he would possibly deny Caesar's right to collect taxes, but he goes right on ahead and affirms it. But he reminds us that there is a debt owed. Another debt, not of taxes, not of coin, but a debt to God. "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render unto God the things that are God's." He reveals to his questioners, and of course to us, how God has established and exercises dominion over the world. What we call the two kingdoms. The kingdom of the left, governments established by God, by which God rules with power, with authority, with exousia. What we call the sword. The other kingdom, the kingdom of the right, of the church. The Lord rules with grace, mercy, of law, and gospel. What then is the debt owed to each? The Pharisees ask the question with malice and with wicked intent, but it's a good question. What is and what is not lawful in our debt to the government? See, in the kingdom of the left, our loyalty is based on the law. It is based on obligation, on duty. So when it comes to the debt owed to Caesar, we fulfill that debt by paying taxes, by doing service in our community, by voting, by volunteering, by serving in the armed forces, supporting and defending our nation in many and various ways. And we are indeed obligated to do this because our government is established by God. Our ruling authorities are God's servants for our good. And while our obligation to government is divinely appointed, it's not singular or absolute. With one foot in the kingdom of the left, we also stand in the kingdom of the right. And in this kingdom, in the kingdom of grace, God bestows on us his gifts. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. He baptizes us into this kingdom, washing our sins in the crimson blood of his Son. He feeds us the life-giving body and blood of Christ Jesus in the sacrament of the altar. In the proclamation of his word, he strengthens our faith with the assurance that he is our God. We are his dear children. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And for all of these benefits, surely we are indebted. But God neither demands nor expects that our debt to him be rendered by works of the law, because he doesn't ask the impossible of us. Tainted with that stain of original sin, being corrupt in our nature, we simply cannot fulfill the law. And that is what St. John means when he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The debt has been paid fully, completely, by the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of our beloved Lord Jesus. What then remains is not any work. We do nothing to win God's favor or to prove our righteousness or our loyalty. The debt keeping in this theme, and for lack of a better word per se, is simply thanksgiving. As we hear in the explanation, the first article of the Creed, "For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey God." And as we receive God's gifts, word and sacrament, as faith is formed and nourished and fed, we engage in the only response possible, because it is the quite natural and inescapable response of the new man: worship and praise. We simply cannot do otherwise as those redeemed by Christ. So render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render unto God the things that are God's. Our loyalty is first and always to our Lord. We render to Caesar, to the government that God has given us, our duty, our service, our works. And we render unto God, as we hear in Hebrews chapter 13, the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his holy name. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.